Before I came to Christie's, for over 20 years, I was a teacher in Bible college. And if you've gone through Sunday school, you will know that the answer to almost every question is Jesus. When I asked the kids who was that with Cecil in the picture, the right answer was Jesus. If you get into more complicated Sunday school, sometimes the answer is God, but Jesus is usually a good place to start. But when you get to college, you have to be a little bit more sophisticated in your answer. And so this morning, I want to give you that crash course that says, whenever you get asked a question at college or in a situation where things are meant to be a little cleverer, the answer to that is, in the beginning, God. It doesn't matter what the question is. The answer is always, in the beginning, God. It's the first four words of the Bible. It's repeated. But the whole biblical story is all about, in the beginning, God. And within theology, there's two kind of main wings. One is biblical theology. The other one is systematic theology. Biblical theology is like it sounds. It's the theology that rises in the stories of the Bible. And if you're going to do biblical theology, you retell the stories of the Bible. That's where you get your theology from. There's a group that are systematic theologians. They like to pull out of the stories the meanings there and kind of put them into a kind of thoughtful order. They become doctrines. And it's a kind of reasoned approach to it. Now, the part of the, in those two traditions, the one I'm trained in is obviously biblical theology, because that's the best. And it's the best because we focus on the stories of the Bible and what we hear from that. Systematic theologians, well, really there's no excuse for it. I can't think of one. But biblical theology is where it's at. And so when the Bible begins, in the beginning, God, you think that's really basically all you need. Every story has a beginning, and the story of the Bible begins with God, in the beginning, God. And really, when you get to study theology or doctrine, the only time that doctrine goes wrong is when it forgets, in the beginning, God. That is the basic truth. So I just want... that's changed a little. But in the box, it says the beginning of time and the end of time. And everything holds time and space in between. And when you look at that, the answer is, in the beginning, God. God is before the beginning of all things. I have met Christians who are really anxious or like to argue about how old the earth is. Is it thousands of years or billions of years? I met a Christian astrophysicist, and he gave me a number that was plus or minus 100,000 years, I think. So it's a big question. But it really doesn't matter how old the earth is, because in the beginning, God. That is the point. Before all things, there is God. But if God is before all things, that means he's outside of time and space. God is nowhere or no when. God is. And that means that God, and that's what the diagram was meant to show, is that God is around. God encompasses it. If you think of space as three-dimensional, some of us are a bit more three-dimensional than others. If you think of space as three-dimensional and you think of time as a fourth dimension, you end up with a tesseract, which if you follow your Marvel cinematic universe stuff, is the power of all things. So the four-dimensional, if you think of time wrapping around three dimensions, all that we know is within that time and space. But God is outside of that. God is beyond that. So when we ask a question like, where is Tommy? That's a time and space question. Where? When God is before time and space, outside of it. God is the dimension that encompasses all dimensions. When I went to uni, I was studying math, and they got up to 11 dimensions, which is why I stopped math and became a computer programmer. It was way easier. But even if there are 11 dimensions, God is the 12th or the one beyond that. God is the one that embraces all things. God is not old or young, because those are time things. You think of God as an, well, you better not. I advise you not to think of God as an old white male, because God is neither old or young, white or black, male or female. God is outside of that. God is before all that. And as God is before it, he is also after it and above it and below it. You think of the verse in Ephesians, which talks about how high and long and wide and deep and something. But you get to four dimensions. God encompasses everything. And when there is no time and space, there is only God, and the Bible tells us that God is love. Before time and space, before everything we see, there was love. And someday, not too long, I hope, I'll get the opportunity to speak about the triune God, God as Father, Son, and Spirit, and how that teaches us what love means. But God is the beginning. God is before all things, which means that God is, there's a picture of the world there, but you can't see, you can't see that. but there was a picture of the world. And my point was that God, if he is before the all things, if he is the start of all stories, then he is the creator God. He has created all things from A to Z, Alpha to Omega, if you're into your Greek. God has created all things, and he loves all things, and he sustains all things. God is the creator of the world, and if he is the creator of the world, he is the Lord of the world. And so our response to God is not just awe at the fact that he is creator, but it's also a response of obedience to the creator Lord. God is the beginning of all things. He is the beginning of creation, and he is the beginning of because he is the creator of all things, he is the beginning of all stories, and he is Lord of all. There we go. So if God is in the beginning of all things, it means that God is the first chapter, the first statement in any story of our own lives. There is a tendency in Baptist churches for when someone gets baptized, we invite them to come and to share their testimony. And often testimonies begin with how awful I was and the things that I did wrong, but God went with me and I gave my heart to Jesus. That is a good story, but it's not the whole story, because all stories start with in the beginning God. We are not the ones that have to go and find God. God comes looking for us. Everyone here is here as a response to the fact that God has come looking for them. It is not that we force ourselves upon God, that we find a way to make God love us or to make God accept us. No, he came looking for us. God is the beginning of all stories. And if he is the beginning of all stories, it means that he continues to be the basis of all stories. So when you get to the point where you're thinking, I can't hold on anymore. I can't hang on to God anymore. I'm struggling. I just don't get it. I'm too tired. I'm sick of this or sick of that. If we think we can't go on, what is the response? In the beginning, God. It's not us that hold on to God. It's God that holds on to us. Romans 8. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not because we hold on, but because God holds on to us. Isaiah, do not be afraid, for I am with you, says God. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Our continuing life with God is not because of what we do. It's because in the beginning, God. God is the one that holds us. Isaiah 46. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. As you get older, you get tireder. Not that we know that yet, but as we get older, we get tireder. And sometimes we just wonder, how can we hold on? And the answer is, in the beginning, God. God is the one who holds us in his victorious right hand. I don't know why. I probably blame the Baptist church I grew up in. But I used to think that the job of missionaries was to take God to places where God was not. And so you would look for a place where they didn't have church. And you would send missionaries so that those people would find out about God. And that is good. But it misses the fundamental theological truth. In the beginning, God. And that I was struck by that in hearing the story of the Sawi, S-A-W-I, Sawi people of Western New Guinea back in the early 1960s when Don Richardson, a Christian missionary, was sent out from America to Papua New Guinea to meet with this tribe that had never engaged with the modern world. And he came to that tribe hoping to bring God to them. And he said when he got there, and this is told in the story, a book that he wrote called Peace Child, when he got there, their values, the thing that they valued most was being tricky, sneaky. If you could get something over someone, that meant you were better, you had won. And so when he told them the story of the gospel, they thought the hero of the story was Judas. Because he survived when Jesus got crucified. He was smarter, he was tricky, and he won. How do you preach the gospel to people who believe that when they hear the gospel story, that the best character is Judas? He didn't know. But this tribe was a warring tribe. Obviously, if you try to trick people and get advantage over them, you're likely to create enemies all around you. And so this was a warring tribe. And there came a point where they were seeking peace with the villages. And he discovered that the way that these tricky people created peace was the peace child. They would take a child from their village and give that child to the other village, and the village would give them one of their children, and they learned to care for that child and brought the two communities together. So this was the peace child, the child that was given to prove that you would trust them. You would trust them with your child, and they would trust you with their child. And Don Richardson thought, isn't that the story of the gospel? God gave himself. God came, and the Son of God came so that we might know that we can trust him, that we can love him, and that he loves us. And he discovered when he preached the gospel of the peace child that God's Spirit moved and many of the villagers became Christians. What he discovered was that before he got there, God was already at work in that village, building a tradition that would help them understand what the gospel was all about. In our usual way, we would go and we would try and teach them all that we know so that then they could come to believe what we believe. But instead, when he recognized that God had already got there and he allowed what God was doing to make the connection, the people responded to that. God was first. It's not the missionary who takes God to the people. God is already there. It's a missionary who comes to help them in making that conversation and understandable to them. And it's the same when we talk about evangelism. Are you worried that if you don't know enough to share your testimony or don't know enough to speak to someone about Jesus? Again, it doesn't start with you. In the beginning, God has already been working that person's life. You may only have a momentary connection with that, but it doesn't begin with you and it doesn't end with you. It begins with God. God is the one who is reaching out to that person. You may just be one of the means along the way. When it comes to prayer and to worship, in the beginning, God. We don't turn up to prayer and ask God to pay attention to us. God is the one who is always there, and it's in prayer we pay attention to God. In the beginning, God. What happens if you start your prayers not with how you feel or where you're at or what you want, but you started with who God is? Think of how your prayer might start if you began with Creator God. Or if you started your prayer with Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yara, the Lord will provide. Or you start with your prayer with the Lord who heals. Or if you started with the Lord our peace. Or you started your prayer with the Lord is my shepherd. Or you start a prayer with God of all comfort. Or Lord of hosts, God of the mighty heavenly armies. If we start our prayers with God, if God is in the beginning, our prayers will change. And our prayers will touch all of our lives, not just the part that is getting our immediate focus. And worship. We've sung the song, it's all about you, it's not about us. But often in our worship, it is easy for us to bring ourselves to it and think, well, now that we've gathered, it's time for God to turn up. But the invocation at the beginning of a service, the invocation, recognizes that it is God who is here first. God is here and God calls you. And if God calls you to be here, then he expects to meet with you. And if he meets with you, he will change you. It begins, we don't have to turn up and hope. I'm an easygoing guy, but it will annoy me, and I'm sure you don't want to do that. It will annoy you, annoy me, and then Paul will annoy you. If you say, the Holy Spirit was here this morning, as if something that we did in the service made the Holy Spirit turn up. No, the Holy Spirit was here first. The weeks where you think the Holy Spirit didn't turn up are the weeks you weren't paying attention. And so if you say to me, the Holy Spirit is here this week, I'll say, yes. How come you weren't paying attention last week? He was here too. And the week before that. And the week after. Because he is here. God is here. In the beginning, God. Worship begins as God calls us together. Our ability to love and forgive others begins with God. It's not because I'm a lovely person that I love others. It's because God first loved me. And because God first loved me, I can love. And so if, not at Chris's feet, obviously, but if there was someone that I found difficult to love, it's not about concentrating hard and thinking, how will I do this? It's about thinking, God loves me. God loves them. In the beginning, God. It's not about getting more manufacturing love. It's about receiving it and allowing that to flow through me to others. In Colossians, it says, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Are these not the very virtues of Jesus that we read in the Gospels? As we clothe ourselves with Jesus, we will be compassionate, kind, humble, meek, and patient. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. The forgiveness of others begins with receiving the forgiveness of God that he gives to us. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. It begins with God. If you're having trouble living the Christian life, it's not about finding a self-help book that will get you through. Help books are helpful. Self-help books. But helpful books are helpful. And helpful books will point you to Jesus. And Jesus will help you become like he is, because he is in the beginning. In the beginning, God. So, the basic axiom, that is the basic starting point of any story about God, or the basic starting point of any thought about God, is simply in these four words: in the beginning, God. If you can remember that, and I'm hoping that if you're not sure that you can remember in the beginning, God, I suggest you find three other people, and each of you can remember one word. And so you can get grouped together from time to time and say, what was that? In the beginning, God. Yes. If you can remember in the beginning, God, all that you do is going to be shaped by that. God is present. God is here. God is with us. It means then that when we are somewhere, what we do is we look for God. Wherever you go to work, God is there. Look for him. Wherever you go to school, God is there. Look for him. Wherever you live, God is there. Look for him. At church, God is there. Look for him. God is present. Look for him. God is active. Work with him. Don't try and think, what do I need to do here? And then think, oh, I'll ask God to bless it. Start with God. What is God doing here? Get on board with that. And join with God in what he's doing. God is giving. Receive from God. It all begins there with God. In the beginning, God. If you really find that difficult to remember, open your Bible, page 1, line 1. In the beginning, God. God is present. Look for him. God is active. Work with him. God is giving. Receive from him. We're going to be led in a time of prayer by Jenny. Oh, there she is. Behind the mask. Thanks, Jenny.